بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful, I testify that there is no true God worthy of worship except Allah, and that Muhammad is Allah's true slave and messenger. We continue the discussion on the three fundamental principles, and the Shaykh rahimahullah reached the third fundamental. قال الأصل الثالث, the third fundamental, معرفة نبيكم محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم, knowledge of your prophet محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم, وهو محمد بن عبد الله بن عبد المطلب بن هاشم, وهاشم من قريش, وقريش من العرب, والعرب من ذرية إسماعيل بن إبراهيم الخليل عليه وعلى نبينا أفضل الصلاة والسلام. Knowledge of your Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, and he was Muhammad ibn Abdullah bin Abdul Muttalib ibn Hashim, and Hashim was from the tribe of Quraysh. Quraysh were from the Arabs, and the Arabs have descended from Ismail, the son of Ibrahim, the chosen beloved Khalil. May the most excellent blessings and peace be upon him and upon our Prophet. So here the Shaykh rahimahullah is mentioning that from the three fundamental principles, and the three, so far we discussed two. The first one was knowledge of Allah, and the second, knowledge of the Deen of Islam, and the third is this one, معرفة النبي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم, knowing the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم with the proofs and evidences. This is the knowledge about the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. Why this is a fundamental principle? Why? Because the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم is the in-between, meaning the in-between Allah and us, meaning he is the messenger. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala legislates, and the legislations are revealed to him, so that the believers can carry on the execution of their worships as explained and detailed by the messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And thus the believer will worship Allah with knowledge, and his worship cannot be accepted and correct except by way of taking from the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So therefore it is incumbent to know him alayhi salatu wassalam. Otherwise, how one can follow someone who is not known? Rather, one must know him, his name, his origin, his biography, how long he stayed in this life. You know the situation before his prophethood and after and during. How did the revelation begin? What was the verse assigning his prophethood? What was the verse assigning his messengership? So who is he? His name is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he has other names, but his name Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the most famous of them all. And it came in many verses in the Quran, as in Surah Al-Fath, verse 29, 48, 29. محمد رسول الله. Muhammad is Allah's messenger. And in Al Imran, in 3:144, وما محمد إلا رسول قد خلت من قبله الرسل. And Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم is no more than a messenger. And indeed, many messengers have passed away before him. And in Surah Al-Ahzab 33:40, قال الله تعالى ما كان محمد أبا أحد من رجالكم. Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم is not the father of any man among you. And from his other names is the name Ahmad, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the glad tiding news which Prophet Isa, Jesus alayhi salam, announced concerning the coming of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam after him. Qala Allah ta'ala in Surah As-Saff 61:6, وَإِذْ قَالَ عِيسَى ابْنُ مَرْيَمَ يَا بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ إِنِّي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ إِلَيْكُمْ مُصَدِّقًا لِمَا بَيْنَ يَدَيَّ مِنَ التَّوْرَاةِ وَمُبَشِّرًا بِرَسُولٍ يَأْتِي مِنْ بَعْدِ اسْمُهُ أَحْمَد. سورة الصف verse 6. And remember when Jesus son of Mary said, O children of Israel, I am the messenger of Allah. Unto you confirming the Torah which came before me and giving glad tidings of a messenger to come after me whose name shall be Ahmad. So he is Muhammad and Ahmad, meaning the one who is praised much alayhi salatu wassalam, and who is qualified with many qualities for which he is praised. And from his other names, as he sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentioned, he said, I have 5 names, and this is in Sahih al-Bukhari, volume 4, hadith 732. I have 5 names. I am Muhammad and Ahmad. I am al-Mahi, through whom Allah will eliminate kufr, disbelief. I am al-Hashir, who will be the first to be resurrected, the people being resurrected thereafter. And I am also Al-Aqib, there will be no prophet after me. And Ahmad means one who praises Allah more than others. And it also means the praised one. He is the last prophet and messenger. There is none, no prophet or messenger after him until the day of resurrection. After his message, the hour will be established and people will be gathered for recompense and retribution. As to his lineage, he was the noblest of people in lineage, since he was a Hashimi of Quraysh and an Arab. He was Muhammad, the son of Abdullah ibn Abdul Muttalib ibn Hashim. And Hashim is from Quraysh, and Quraysh is from, or were from, the Arabs, and the Arabs from the descendants of Ismail, the son of Ibrahim alayhim as-salatu was-salam. And Arabs, according to the famous classification, are 2 classifications. First, the pure Arabs, who are known to be the origin of the Arabs, and they go to Qahtan, Ya'rub bin Qahtan, and they dwelled in Yemen. Then spread in the peninsula. And the other Arabs are known as Al-Arab al-Musta'riba. Al-Arab al-Musta'riba. The Arabized Arabs. Arabized Arabs. From the progeny of Ismail alayhi salam, also called Adnanian Arabs. Also called Adnanian Arabs in reference to Adnan. They are called, or they were called, Arabized Arabs because they learned the Arabic from the original Arabs. That is when the tribe from the pure Arabs, the tribe of Jurhum, came to Mecca and dwelled. And Hajar Ismail was there with her son Ismail. And he was a child. And so when they found the water of Zamzam, they dwelled therein to settle. And they had an agreement with Hajar, allowing them to use the water. Ismail alayhi salam was young. Then he was raised and took the Arabic from Jurhum, who were from the pure Arabs. And then he married from them. And his offspring thus, or then, knew the Arabic and were raised with the Arabs, and so they were or became Araban Musta'riba, Arabized Arabs. Some of the scholars, on the other hand, say that the pure or original Arabs are two groups. Arabun Ba'ida, perishing Arabs, who perished, and this refers to the people of Nuh, of Ad, Thamud, and Shu'aib. And the remaining Arabs from them are those who, they are those who are divided into the pure Arabs and the Arabized Arabs. And the Prophet ﷺ is from the tribe of Bani Hashim, and Hashim from the offspring of Ismail alayhi salam, and his name is Muhammad ibn Abdullah ibn Abdul Muttalib. And Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, he had Ismail the elder, and he is the grandfather of the Arabized Arabs. And he had Ishaq, who is the grandfather of Bani Israel, of the children of Israel. And all the prophets are from the descendants of Ishaq, except our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He is from the descendants of Ismail alayhi as-salatu wassalam. As to his birth, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was born in the year of the elephant. This is the year in which the king of Yemen named Abraha was designated to lead an army was designated by the king of Abyssinia to lead an army to destroy the Kaaba. And he had a great elephant with him. And so when he reached the Wadi al-Muhassir in the area of al-Maghmas and very close to Mecca, the people of Mecca dispersed and they went to the hills and mountains because they couldn't stand to confront this army. So he intended to move on to or move forward towards the Kaaba. The elephant knelt down and refused to go forward. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refrained it. Whenever he directs the elephant rather to the direction of the Kaaba, the elephant knelt down. Whenever he did that, he knelt down and refused to move forward. But he would move in any other direction. And while they were in this situation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent birds in flight, throwing forcefully stones of baked clay and made them like scattered chaff. The bird will carry one stone in its beak and another in its claws, or two in its claws, and they will be forcefully thrown on the soldiers, destroying them, cutting them into two pieces. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed in this a Quran, one chapter known as Surah Al-Fil. أَلَمْ تَرَ كَيْفَ فَعَلَ رَبُّكَ بِأَصْحَابِ الْفِيلِ أَلَمْ يَجْعَلْ كَيْدَهُمْ فِي تَضْلِيلٍ وَأَرْسَلَ عَلَيْهِمْ طَيْرًا أَبَابِيلَ تَرْمِيهِمْ بِحِجَارَةٍ مِّن سِجِّيلٍ. Have you not seen how your Lord dealt with the owners of the elephant? Did he not make their plot go astray? Certainly. And sent against them birds in flocks, striking them with stones of sijil? Certainly. And made them like an empty field of stalks of which the corn has been eaten up by cattle? Certainly. This is the story of the elephant. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected his house and destroyed this tyrant. In this year, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Muhammad alayhi salatu wa sallam, was born. And many signs appeared upon his birth. And from that a light that issued, his mother said, a light that issued out of my dundum and lit the palaces of Syria. He was born in a place close to the Kaaba. But there is no specific mention of this place precisely. What's important is that he was born in Mecca and was breastfed in the tribe of Sa'd from Halima al-Sa'diyya. Halima al-Sa'diyya. His father, Abdullah, died while he was still in his mother's womb. And his mother died after giving birth to him shortly. And so he was fostered by Ayman al-Habashiyya afterwards, which he inherited from his father, and then became under the care of his uncle Abdul Muttalib. Then after the death of Abdul Muttalib, he was under the care of his uncle Abi Talib. And he lived 40 years before prophethood, years in which he was known for his trust, truthfulness, generosity, avoiding worshipping of idols, and avoiding drinking khamr, alcoholic beverages. He didn't do the actions of the people of Jahiliyyah. Rather, he, alayhi salatu wasalam, used to go to the cave of Hira and worship there, worship Allah in accordance with the millah of Ibrahim, the way of Ibrahim alayhi salam, meaning on pure tawheed. Then after he reached the age of 40, the revelation was sent upon him when Jibreel alayhi salam descended, when he was in the cave of Hira, and told the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, told him then recite Surat Iqra, Surat Al-Alaq 96, 1 and 2. اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق خلق الإنسان من علق. Read in the name of your Lord who has created all that exists, has created man from a clot. Read, and your Lord is the most generous. This is his prophethood. Allah gave him the prophethood by اقرأ. Read. He made him a prophet by that. So he went to his home terrified, because he met something he never knew before, and he never saw like it before. Magnificent thing. So he found his wife Khadija radiallahu anha. So she covered him and comforted him and said, كَلَّا وَاللَّهِ لَا يُخْزِيكَ اللَّهِ. Nay, Allah will never disgrace you. إِنَّكَ لَتَصِلُ الرَّحِمِ. You unite uterine relations. وَتُقْرِ الضَّيْفِ. And you bear the burden of the weak, and you help the poor and the needy, and you entertain the guests and endure hardship in the path of truthfulness. So after that, she took him to her uncle Waraq ibn Nawfal, and he read in the books, the previous books, worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when he was informed as to what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw in the cave of Hira, and he said, verily this is the same messenger angel which used to descend upon Musa, meaning Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam. Then the author rahimahullah said, وَأُرْسِلَ بِالْمُدَّثِّرِ وَبَلَدُهُ مَكَّةِ. أُرْسِلَ بِالْمُدَّثِّرِ. So the assignment of messengership was sent down upon him. In the verse يا أيها المدثر قم فأنذر وربك فكبر وثيابك فطهر والرجز فهجر ولا تمن تستكثر ولربك فاصبر. سورة المدثر 74 verses 1 to 7. O you enveloped in garments, arise and warn, and your Lord magnify, and your garments purify, and keep away from a ridge the idols, and give not a thing in order to have more, and consider not your deeds of Allah's obedience as a favor to Allah. And be patient for the sake of your Lord, meaning perform your duty to Allah. So Allah gave him the prophethood with Iqra, read, recite. And then he sent him as a messenger with Al-Muddathir, these verses. What's the difference between, the prophet and the messenger? What's the difference between the prophet and the messenger? The prophet is the one who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him a revelation, but he was not commanded to propagate. This is in accordance with the majority opinion. Allah gave him a revelation, but he was not commanded to propagate. And that's why he is called a prophet. And is not called a messenger because he is not commanded. However, it must be noted that لم ينهى عن البلاغ. However, he is not forbidden to propagate. And there's a difference between the two. So he was not commanded to propagate, but also he was not forbidden. This is according to, this is the meaning of the prophet. And the messenger is the one whom Allah gave or sent upon him revelation and was commanded to propagate. And what was the message? What was the message he was sent with? And why was he sent? He was sent to call to Tawheed, to single Allah alone in worship. And to call people to Allah's revealed laws, comprising whatever Allah ordered and avoiding whatever He forbade. He was sent as a mercy to all the creation, to bring them out from the oppressive darkness of shirk, of worship of anything besides Allah, or to the exclusion of Allah, and from kufr, unbelief, and ignorance, and to bring them to the light of knowledge through faith, iman, and tawheed, the pure worship of Allah alone, so that they should thereby gain the forgiveness and pleasure of Allah, and thus be saved from His punishment and anger. He stayed 13 years in Mecca, calling people to Tawheed and to avoid shirk in all of its forms. He was harmed, and those who followed him as well. So he warned them against shirk and called them to Tawheed. Tawheed of Allah, singling him alone in lordship, in rububiyyah, and his right to be worshipped alone, Uluhiyya, and his names and attributes being unique to him, Al-Asma'u wa-Sifat. There was a great blessing in a short period of time. 23 years in messengership with a great blessing, abundant knowledge and striving in the cause of Allah, and steadfastness and victory in this short period. This is from the signs of Allah Azza wa Jal and from the blessings that Allah bestowed upon His Prophet and the blessings of His supplications and the revelation He received. And before all of this, by the help of Allah who helped him and protected him and gave him help and aid and victory, His message reaching the East and the West. Walhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. This message of avoiding shirk, warn people against shirk, and calling to Tawheed, this must be established in every community. First and foremost. Then after that, the rest of the matters. Because none of the rest without Tawheed will be of a benefit. For if people abandon zina, fornications and adultery, abandon alcoholic beverages, theft, and became most noble in character and morality, but they don't abandon shirk, ascribing partners to Allah in worship, then there is no benefit in all of that. And all of these things will be of no avail to them. However, if the person is safe from shirk, yet he may have committed major sins lesser than shirk, then it is hoped that Allah will forgive him, or if punished, Allah will punish him in accordance with the degree of his sins. However, his final abode will be paradise, because he is a muwahhid, one who singles Allah alone in worship. And this is a matter which is overlooked by many people and many groups who ascribe to Islam, where they have twisted the priorities. The most important priority and the highest, which all the prophets and messengers took to achieve and propagate, is to keep the societies free from shirk and to have the tawheed prevailing in people's hearts and actions and utterances. Any call which does not begin with tawheed and emphasize to establish tawheed and to warn against shirk is of a great harm to Muslims, and it will not lead to the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because it is against His way and against the priorities which He had set subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore, tawheed is the fundamental matter, and there is no deliverance except with tawheed first. And that's why it must be emphasized all the time, and to call people to that and to teach them. Teach them the meaning of tawheed. Teach them the meaning of shirk. The Muslim must know this matter, and it should be clear to him. And he should check himself. Check himself to see if he is committing shirk on daily basis, yes, or if he is compromising his tawheed. This is inevitable, and the da'wah, the call, must be based upon this foundation. 10 years in Mecca, inviting people to tawheed and avoiding shirk, because they used to worship idols. And the wisdom that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent him to Mecca, because Mecca is the mother of the cities and the towns. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Qasas 28:59, وَمَا كَانَ رَبُّكَ مُهْلِكَ الْقُرَى حَتَّى يَبْعَثَ فِي أُمِّهَا رَسُولًا. And never will your Lord destroy the towns until he sends to their mother town a messenger reciting to them our verses. The mother is the reference to which everything refers. Allah referred to the clear verses in his book as Ummul Kitab. Hunna Ummul Kitab in 3:7, meaning the foundation and the origin and the reference for all the unclear texts to be referred to the clear ones. And he considered the clear ones as Ummul Kitab, the mother of the book. These are the entirely clear ones. So Mecca, may Allah bestow his honor upon it, is the foundation and origin for all people of the earth, all Muslims. Umm al-Qura, the mother of the towns. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent his messenger from Mecca to the entire world. He stayed therein 13 years, warning the people of Mecca from shirk and inviting them to tawheed. Because the people of Mecca are the example for others. And that's why Mecca must stay until the day of resurrection a home for tawheed and a base for da'wah to Allah. And that anyone who opposes this should not be therein. Shirk, innovations and superstitions must be kept away from Mecca, because people look to it all the time. What's done in there spreads in the entire world. If it is good, then this is a spreading of good. And if it is otherwise, then it will be a spreading of evil. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated in Surah Al-Baqarah in chapter 2, verse 125, وَعَهِدْنَا إِلَىٰ إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَإِسْمَاعِيلَ أَنْ طَهِرَ بَيْتِيَ لِلطَّائِفِينَ وَالْعَاكِفِينَ وَالرُّكَّعِ السُّجُودِ. So Mecca must be purified from all that which opposes Islam. And we commanded Ibrahim and Ismail that they should purify my house for those who are circumambulating it, or staying for i'tikaf, or bowing or prostrating themselves therein, there in prayer. Mecca must be always purified from that which opposes Islam, so that the deen and the da'wah reaches the east and the west pure, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent his messenger from Mecca, and he began his da'wah in it 13 years, calling to tawheed, warning against shirk. He wasn't commanded in anything else. He was not commanded by Salah, nor Zakah, nor Siyam, nor Hajj. His da'wah was focused and limited upon warning against shirk and commanding tawheed. يَقُولُ لَهُمْ قُولُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ تَفْلَحُ. He says to them, say لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. None has the right to be worshipped except Allah, and you will succeed. While they say, as Allah spoke of them in Surah Sad, أَجَعَلَ الْآلِهَةَ إِلَهًا وَاحِدًا إِنَّ هَذَا لَشَيْءٌ عُجَابٌ. He has made the Aliha all into one ilah, one God. Verily, this is a curious thing. They knew what it meant. They knew that it meant abolishing all their worship to other than Allah. Purifying the worship to Allah alone. They knew what it meant. They knew more than the mushriks in our times. They knew what it meant. More than the mushriks of our times, who at times of ease and at times of hardship invoke other than Allah, invoking the prophets and the messengers, invoking the dead and the alive, saying, Ya Badawi, Ya Abd al-Qadir, Ya Dasuqi, Ya Shadili, Ya Ali, Ya Hassan, Ya Hussein, Ya Muhammad. While Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَنَّ الْمَسَاجِدَ لِلَّهِ فَلَا تَدْعُوا مَعَ اللَّهِ أَحَدًا. And that masajid, mosques are established purely for Allah. So invoke none beside Him. Stayed 10 years establishing this matter. Then in the 11th year, a great happening took place. A great blessings bestowed by Allah upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam before he migrated from Mecca. He was ascended. He was taken in a journey from the Al-Masjid Al-Haram, the sacred house, to the Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa, the furthest mosque in Al-Quds, in Jerusalem. قال الله تعالى in 17:1. سبحان الذي أسرى بعبده ليلا من المسجد الحرام إلى المسجد الأقصى. Glorified and exalted be He, Allah, above all that evil they associate with Him, who took His slave, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for a journey by night from Al-Masjid Al-Haram, the sacred house in Mecca, to the farthest mosque in Al-Quds in Jerusalem. So while he was sleeping in the detached part of the Kaaba, known as Al-Hijr, someone came to him and cut open his body. Between his throat and his lower abdomen. Then he took out his heart and filled it up with wisdom and iman in preparation for what was about to occur with him. Then a white animal, named Al-Buraq, smaller than a mule and bigger than a donkey, was brought to him. Its pace was the distance the eye could see. Its pace was the distance the eye could see. So he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, mounted it, and he was escorted by Jibreel alayhi salam, the trustworthy. So he came to Al-Quds, to Jerusalem, and prayed along with the prophets, leading all the prophets and messengers in the prayer, with them praying behind him. And this manifested the preeminence of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his nobility, and that he is the Imam to be followed. Then Jibreel alayhi salam ascended with him to the lowest heaven and requested entry. So it was said, "Who is there?" He said, "Jibreel." It was said, "And who is with you?" He said, "Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." He said, "Has he been called?" He said, "Yes." It was said, "Welcome to him. What an excellent visitor it is who has come. Allahumma salli wa sallim alayhi." So entry was granted to him, and he found therein Adam alayhi salam. So Jibreel said, "This is your forefather, Adam." So greet him with salam. So greet him with salam. Allahu Akbar. So he greeted him thus, and he responded to him with salam, and said, "Welcome to the righteous son and the righteous prophet." So, on Adam's right were the spirits of those who will attain salvation, and on his left were the spirits of those who will go to destruction from his descendants. So when he looked to the right, he was pleased and laughed. And when he looked to his left, he wept. Then Jibreel ascended with him to the second heaven and requested entry. So he found therein Yahya and Jesus Isa alayhim as-salam. And they are maternal cousins, each of them being the son of the other's maternal aunt. So Jibreel alayhi salam said, "This is Yahya and Isa." So greet them with the greeting of salam. So he greeted them with salam, and they replied with this greeting of salam and said, "Welcome to the righteous brother and the righteous prophet. Allahumma salli wa sallim alayhi." Then Jibreel ascended with him to the third heaven and requested entry. So he found therein Yusuf, Joseph alayhi salam. And Jibreel said, "This is Yusuf." So greet him with salam. So he greeted him with salam. So he responded to him with this greeting and said, "Welcome to the righteous brother and the righteous prophet." Then Jibreel ascended with him to the fourth heaven and requested entry. He found therein Idris alayhi salam. So Jibreel said, "This is Idris." So greet him with salam. So he greeted him with salam, and he replied to him with salam and said, "Welcome to the righteous brother and the righteous prophet." Then Jibreel ascended with him to the fifth heaven and requested entry. He found therein Harun ibn Imran, the brother of Musa, Aaron, and his brother Moses. So Jibreel said, "This is Harun." So greet him with salam. So he greeted him with salam, and he replied to him with salam and said, "Welcome to the righteous brother and the righteous prophet." Then Jibreel alayhi salam ascended with him to the sixth heaven and requested entry. He found therein Musa alayhi salam. So Jibreel said, "This is Musa." Greet him with salam. So he greeted him with salam, and he replied to him with the greetings of salam and said, "Welcome to the righteous brother and the righteous prophet." When he proceeded on Musa, wept. So it was said, "What causes you to weep?" So he replied, I weep because a young man was sent as a messenger after me, and more of his nation than my nation will enter paradise. So Musa's weeping was because of grief for the many virtues missed by his nation, and not out of envy for the nation of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then Jibreel ascended with him to the seventh heaven and requested entry. He found therein Ibrahim alayhi salam, the chosen beloved of the Most Merciful. So Jibreel said, this is your forefather Ibrahim. Greet him with salam. So he greeted him with salam, and he replied with salam and said, welcome to the righteous son and the righteous prophet. Jibreel took Allah's messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to all of those prophets as an honor for him, and in order to manifest his nobility and excellence sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Also Ibrahim was seen in the seventh heaven resting with his back against Al-Bayt al-Ma'mur, the oft frequented house, which is such that every day 70,000 angels enter it to worship and pray. Then they leave it and don't return to it. Then, on the second day, more angels, whose number cannot be enumerated by anyone but Allah, enter it. Then the Prophet ﷺ was raised to the furthest lot tree, Sidratul Muntaha, and it was covered through Allah's commands in such splendor and beauty that no one would be able to describe its beauty. Then Allah made 50 prayers obligatory upon him sallallahu alayhi wasallam for each day and night. So he was pleased with that and submitted it. Then he descended until he came to Musa alayhi salam, who said, what did your Lord make obligatory upon your nation? So he said, 50 prayers in each day and night. He said, your nation will not be able to bear that. I have experience of the people before you, and struggled hard with Bani Israel, with the children of Israel. So return to your Lord and request that he should make reduction for your nation. The Prophet ﷺ said, so I returned, and 10 were reduced for me. And he kept returning to his Lord until the obligation was fixed at 5 prayers. Then a call was made, I have decreed my obligation and have reduced the burden on my slaves. Also in this night, the Prophet ﷺ was entered into paradise and saw tents of pearl and saw that its earth was musk. Then Allah's Messenger ﷺ descended and returned to Mecca during the period of after dawn darkness, and he prayed the dawn, the subh prayer. There he prayed the prayers which now consist of 4 rak'ah with 2 rak'ahs. Then when he migrated to Medina, the traveler's prayer remained like that, whilst the prayer of the resident was increased. So he used to pray them 2 rak'ahs. But when he migrated to Medina, he completed the 4th rak'ahs in 4, except the fajr, where the recitation is long, and it remained 2 rak'ah as it was, as it is. And the maghrib, 3, because it is the witr, the odd of the day, dhuhr and asr and isha. While in Mecca, they were in 2s. When he migrated, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they were completed to 4 each. So, this is by the consensus of the people of knowledge, that the salah was ordained in Mecca, and that the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, prayed in Mecca. but the scholars differed. Was it ordained before the Hijrah in 3 years or 5? It was said 3, it was said 5, and it was said even 1 year before, and even was said 1.5 years. However, the preponderating opinion that it was 3 years before the migration. Was there anything obligated with the Salah from the pillars of Islam then? This is a point of difference between the scholars. Some of them say that the Zakah also was ordained in Mecca. And however, its nisab and the people and the beneficiaries and so forth, the details were in Medina. The origin of it being prescribed rather was in Mecca. This is one opinion. So after his return to Mecca, in one night, the mushriks, in the morning, when they knew, the believers increased in iman, while the mushriks increased in evil. And they started to make a propaganda against the Prophet ﷺ. How could he claim that he went to Bayt al-Maqdis in Jerusalem and returned in one night, while we take the mounts of camels to that place, 1 month going and 1 month for the return trip? They make analogy of their power to the power of Allah Azza wa Jal. So this, the journey of Isra and Mi'raj, the journey to Al-Quds and the Ascension, was a test to these people. And with respect to the believers, it was a test that increased their faith. And that's why with respect to the mushriks, it increased their harm and their evil. And that's why when the mushriks told Abu Bakr, look at your companion, what is he saying? He told them, he replied, and what did he say? They said, he claims that he went to Bayt al-Maqdis to Jerusalem and was ascended to heavens and then returned in one night. Abu Bakr, what was the response of Abu Bakr, radiallahu anhu? Listen what he said. إِن كَانَ قَالَهُ فَهُوَ كَمَا قَالَ. If he had said this, then it is as he had said. لَقَدْ صَدَقْ. Then he spoke the truth. They said, how come? He said, I trust him and believe him in that which is greater even. I entrust him and believe him in the revelation which he receives from heavens. And therefore, shouldn't I believe in his journey to Bayt al-Maqdis? This is from the miracles which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed upon his Prophet alayhi salatu wassalam. And we believe that his journey and the ascension was in body and soul and in awakeness, not in sleep. This is because some people say that the journey took place by taking his soul with his soul, and that his body remained in Mecca, and that the journey and the ascension was by soul. And this is futile and false. Rather, he was taken, body and soul, and mounted on the Buraq, and that was in awakeness, not in sleep. Had it been with his soul only, or in sleep, then what the difference would be between that and between dreams? While we know that Allah said in Al-Isra, if we examine the verse again, سبحان الذي أسرى بعبده, glorified and exalted be He, Allah, above all that evil they associate with Him, who took His slave. The slave here refers to the body and soul altogether, one entity. It doesn't refer to the soul alone that it is a slave. And it doesn't refer to the body alone as a slave. It's general to mean both. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not say, سبحان الذي أسرى بروح عبده, glorified the one who took his slave by his soul, by the soul of his slave, but rather by, or he took his slave. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is able to do everything. And this is the correct creed. And as to those who take this great miracle and celebrate it each year and invoke upon the Prophet ﷺ and call upon him and gather in celebrations and distribute sweets and lit candles and the like, all of this is not from the deen of Islam. All of this constitute innovations in the deen. Those who claim to love the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and do these things, we tell them, you are not better than him sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Had this been something to celebrate and be part of the celebration being part of the worship, he would have recommended that or ordered it. He sallallahu alayhi wasallam did not do, nor did he enjoin it upon the companions. And the companions, may Allah be pleased with all of them, did not do any of this after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's death. So this tells that it is a clear innovation, bid'ah in the deen, and that it is rejected. And those people who do this are wrong. The love of the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam must be in obeying him and complying with his commands. The same is to be said concerning the celebrations of the birth day of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Again, this is another bid'ah that is spread in the Muslim world, where shirk practices are done under the name of loving the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Muslims, therefore, should purify the way they worship Allah and follow the Messenger by complying with the Sharia as the companions complied with. In this way, we can gain the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as they did. Otherwise, the bid'ah is a serious matter in Islam, meaning it distorts Islam and takes away from the person's adherence to the deen. And it is beloved to shaitan Because the person who does it thinks that he is doing good. May Allah the Most High safeguard us and safeguard the Ummah from these practices and return us all and the Ummah to the right path of Tawheed. This is the path which brings happiness in this life and hereafter and brings steadfastness on the earth and victory. As'al Allah Azza wa Jal, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept this effort and to make it sincere for His face. And to make it a benefit for myself and for all of you. References upon which this discussion was based upon included the explanation of the three fundamental principles by our Shaykh Muhammad bin Salih al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah, and also the explanation by the same book by Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan, may Allah preserve him, and also by Shaykh Abdullah bin Salih al-Fawzan, may Allah preserve him. والحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم